You're listening to TNM Coaching Unplugged. TNM Unplugged features the diverse perspectives of a thriving global community of coaches, leaders, and experts. And it's all for you.
And welcome to TNM Coaching Unplugged, the Zoran Todorovic Interconnected Podcast, the space where you elevate your heart, your mind, and your soul to the next level of itself, the space where you get inspired with the new, fresh thinking, positive ideas that help you live the most amazing life in your business, in your families, in your community, the space where you are inspired to be the best possible version of yourself. And today we're going to have a beautiful elevation and absolutely wonderful conversation with very good friend and collaborator, Josh. And let me tell you a little bit about Josh Lipschitz. Josh Lipschitz is an evolutionary coach, entrepreneur, conscious poet, holistic chef, and retreat facilitator. He has spent his life journey in service to others and projects that are focused on healing of our humanity and regeneration of our world. Josh combines his passion for personal development, energy medicine, lyrical wisdom to inspire others around him. He also helps run the Unmasked Men, a company dedicated to empowerment of and transformation of men by creating a heart-centered leaders and educating all aspects of healthy masculinity. He also organizes retreats and conscious gatherings and facilitates transformational healing journeys in Ibiza and in the UK. And welcome, Josh.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Well, today we're going to talk about balance. I think balance is one of these topics that is super important for all of us nowadays, something that we're all striving to achieve, something that determines the quality of our life, how well do we live in the present moment, and some things that we're always trying to figure out to learn how to be better at, and something that is an ongoing work. And precisely, we're going to be focusing on the balance between our masculine energy and our feminine energy, the masculine energy inside of ourselves. This is being man or a woman, it doesn't really make difference. And then this feminine energy inside ourselves as well. And we're going to start by focusing on masculine energy and man's work, you know, because I personally believe this is one of the most important work for all men to get into nowadays. We have a lot of conversations around the world around feminine empowerment and feminine balance and balancing of our feminine energy, rights of women as well, and giving them the stage to shine and grow. But somehow we neglect, you know, men and masculinity, and it's somehow left behind the scenes and take it for granted. So I'm super inspired and empowered to have you on our podcast today, when we can start our conversation by what is necessary, what is needed for men to do to be able to have this healthy masculine energy and to show up in their life in the most powerful, profound ways, when we can serve ourselves, serve our communities, and also empower the world to transform. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's some juicy topics to delve into.
So to start with, it's always interesting for listeners and audience to understand your personal journey as well. So what led you to embark on that journey with looking into the men's work, becoming part of the men's groups, and then supporting this organization that really empowers men to become the best possible versions of themselves?
Yeah, so my journey of connection with the divine masculine and my own journey with my relationship with my masculinity started a couple of years ago on the island, where I joined a men's group. It was like a 6-week container, and it covered topics of purpose, discovering purpose within your life. And we met once a week for 6 weeks and delved into these really interesting topics. And what I found the most healing process and the most transformative aspect of that journey was the indirect healing that I received from hearing other men and their perspectives and their journeys. So in the circle, we would oftentimes share our own journeys and our own experiences. And in those processes, when people reflect on their journey, you see yourself in their share. And it's like this hall of mirrors, I like to call this the most beautiful aspect of a sharing circle, is the hall of mirrors. And so you see yourself reflected back, or you see some other person going through a process, and then that helps you calibrate where you feel you are in your journey. You might think, wow, okay, that person had it really bad. I didn't have it so bad when I was a child. And then that can really help you to kind of come into alignment. Or you can say, oh, wow, that person's relationship with their mother or their father really reminds me of an aspect of my relationship with my father and my mother. And then it really helps you to connect with an emotional somatic experience that was happening within you that maybe you had disconnected from, or that you had forgotten, or that you had been ignoring or denying for some time. And so I did the first journey and then the second journey, and it was with Rudy and Sudhir, their unconditional man group. And then last summer, I was managing the Gwynsgrove stage at a medicine festival in the UK. And one of my really close friends, Mitchell, came to me, and he was about to run his workshop with Alexander, the Unmasked Man workshop, my stage. And they said, we really would love some extra support. Would you be able to lend us a hand? And I had actually done a men's workshop earlier that day, and I was kind of feeling quite low energy. Mm. And I was, oh, I don't know, guys, I'm not really sure if I'm going to be able to support you. I'm not really feeling strong in my energetic body. And in that moment, just this wave of energy came over me, and I was like, actually, no, yeah, this is it. It was like a full body yes that came after that, where my mind was hesitating. So that was my first experience with the Unmasked Man. And what I loved about the Unmasked Man and how they hold space and how they lead their containers is they lead it from a heart space. They lead it really connecting with the energy of the lover archetype. And there's a softness to it. And there is a grounded, receptive nature to their work that you really feel like you're being embraced and held by the energy of the Unmasked Man. And after that workshop, I really found this deep affinity to their style of work. Mm-hmm. And then they asked me to come and join them on their September retreat. And then I joined in November. And during that period of time, towards the end of last year, I really started to become more actively involved in conversations between Alexander, the founder, and Mitchell, the co-founder. And we just really started to create this beautiful harmony and synergy of working together. Mm-hmm. And so November last year, I came on board the company officially, and then we started to really look at all the ways that we can take the Unmasked Man to the next level.
Wonderful. So you mentioned, you know, already some of the things that might be interesting to our audience, which is the archetypes. So can you share those archetypes of masculine energy? What are those, and how can we align and understand them and adapt to them?
Yeah, totally. So the archetypal dynamics was introduced by Carl Jung, and he introduced the world to this notion that there are these baseline archetypal energies that exist within human consciousness and human subconsciousness as well. And he kind of also introduced this concept of the subconscious. And later, in I think late 20th century, Douglas Gillet and Robert Moore created this. They wrote this book called Warrior, King, Lover, Magician. And they introduced the concept of the four great masculine archetypes. And they wrote this book through the lens of the masculine energy and the masculine perspective. Personally, I actually feel that these archetypes are actually universal and they apply to women as well. But just for the purpose of this conversation, I'll use it through the lens of the masculine energy. And so they have the four great archetypes, and they sit at different corners of the compass. So in the East, you have the lover, and the lover is connected with life. He loves all aspects of life and himself. He's creative. He maybe expresses himself through dance and music and other forms of creative expression. And each of these archetypes have a shadow aspect to them. So if you imagine them to be a triangle or pyramid, at the top of the pyramid sits the healthy archetype, so the healthy lover. And then at the lower half of the pyramid, you have two dysfunctional shadows of these archetypes. So the lover, for example, you have one of the dysfunctional active shadows is called the addict. So a lover, a person who is in love with life, loves things too much without any healthy boundaries, can become an addict. So you can become addicted to food, to sex, to work, to anything, basically. And then you have the passive shadow, which is referred to as the impotent lover, the lover who becomes disinterested in life and doesn't really connect with these things that I previously mentioned, and they kind of almost become disconnected from the joys and the pleasures of life. So that sits in the East. And then in the South is the warrior. And the warrior, you have the masochist and the sadist. And then in the West, you have the magician. And the magician, you have the manipulator and the denying innocent one. And then in the North is referred to as the king energy. And this is really the culmination of this work, is how do we step into our king energy? The king energy is considered and referred to as higher consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And the king energy is beautiful. And this is the one that I feel really strongly connected with, because this energy is the king who sits in his kingdom, and he brings order to the realm. And he draws strength from the other archetypes to become the best version of himself. And the king takes advice from his people in his kingdom. He treats his peasants the same that he treats his knights and his noblemen. Mm. And he blesses people, and he rises above. He sees himself not at the pinnacle of his kingdom. He sees everyone involved in his kingdom as equally important. And it's referring to these other energies. So the king energy will draw on his warrior when he needs to. He'll draw on the magician. He'll draw on the lover. And I really find this framework so, so useful to anyone to really connect with, understanding aspects of themselves, aspects of their psyche, and recognize in using this framework to draw understanding of what patterns am I going through? Where in my life am I lacking warrior energy? So I really want to strengthen my morning routine. So what do I need to do? I need to be more disciplined. I need to be more perseverant. I need to create structure. And so you draw on the strength of the warrior. And some people are really connected in their warrior energy, but they don't engage in much activities to do with the lover. They don't really dance and express themselves and get in touch with creativity. They get very much into the action and the doing and the structure and the routine.
Mm.
And then you also have elements of the magician energy as well. So the magician energy casts its gaze into the future, the past, and the present. It knows exactly what path it needs to take. These are the doctors, the shamans, the healers of the world. They're really connected with the magician energy. And the Unmasked Man introduced this concept, this roadmap to be a better man and to be a better person and to become more whole and more balanced.
So let's kind of drill a little bit deeper, because, you know, we really want people to learn, you know, in this transition. So what I love what you shared so far is this shadow aspects of each and every archetype. You mentioned a few of the shadow aspects of lover. What I would love to ask you, if you can mention a few of the shadow aspects of the warrior, the magician. I don't know if King has some, probably does.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And then, you know, if we understand those shadow aspects in ourselves, which is something that we haven't healed, haven't transformed, neglected, ignored, you know, something that, you know, we don't have even relationship with because we don't know this framework. So what are those shadow aspects for each and every archetype? And then let's look into how can we coach, move ourselves into the enlightened part of those aspects so we can embody the most powerful potential that each and every archetype can offer to us.
Yeah, totally. So as I mentioned, the lover and the warriors, the sadist and the masochist, each of them have a pyramid structure. And at the top is the healthy manifestation of that energy within your life. That's where your goal is. Your goal is to be at the top of the pyramid. And so in the warrior energy, you have the sadist, which is the active shadow. And so that is that you take pleasure from putting other people down. You take pleasure from other people's pain. And then the masochist. And the masochist is someone who receives pleasure almost from having pain inflicted on them. And this is a very basic way of explaining the aspects of that shadow. They manifest in your life in many more complicated ways. Then the magician, as I said, has the denying innocent one. That's the passive shadow. This is a person who looks at the world, sees the things that they can do, often manifesting in terms of jealousy or envy. But they think like, oh yeah, I could do that thing. But they don't ever put it into action. They think in their mind, oh yeah, I'd be really good at that, but they don't ever put it into practice. They don't take the action steps from drawing on the strength of the warrior to put into practice those elements that they would like to introduce into their life. And then you have the manipulator. So the magician, manipulator, maybe they hold on to their knowledge and they don't want to gift it freely, and they manipulate aspects of their life in order to stay on top of everyone else. So it's the master who teaches his students only up to a certain point, because he's so fearful of the fact that his students are going to surpass him in stature, knowledge, and strength. And then the king energy will have the shadow elements that we see in a lot of media and a lot of stories from ancient times of a tyrant, the tyrant king, who deep down has a sense of that he's not good enough, that his deep wound is that he's not good enough, that he's not worthy of love. And so he will treat other people very terribly in order to make himself feel better. And we see these two, the king energy and the warrior energy, relate to each other in this aspect of the bully, basically. And so when you start looking at in this way, you start to see the healthy energies that we're trying to embody and then their dysfunctional shadows. And for example, to reflect on aspects of my life, where I struggle with in my life is with structure, routine, and discipline, especially in the morning with my morning routine. And so naturally, I need to work on my warrior energy. So I have needed to embark on a journey of how do I connect with my healthy warrior energy, and how can I move up the pyramid into the higher part of the pyramid, into the healthy aspect of that energy, and really try to notice in my life where I'm embodying the shadow elements of this archetypal dynamic. And something that's really important to mention at this point is that we fluctuate between these dysfunctional shadows. You're never only ever the sadist or just the masochist in the warrior's shadow. You move between the two. And with this method and this concept that they created of the pyramid, it's also really important to mention that you're never just one of the energies. you exhibit all of the energies simultaneously in your being. And so it's never that you're just the warrior, or you're just the lover, or you're just the magician. Mm-hmm. You have all of them within you. And at certain times of your life, you need to channel that specific energy which is going to support you in that particular task. So you're in a process of writing a poem, and so you maybe channel more of your lover energy. You may be working in a sales role, and you really need to be disciplined and perseverant when you're trying to go to the gym and become more fit. So then you connect more with your warrior energy.
So yeah, I would just want to say, you need to create a startup, for example, you need to vision, you know, the new adventure, then you're getting more into your magician energy, you activate that aspect of yourself, because you need to draw on that strength in order for you to be able to do it. Or if you're already running the business, you're part of the community, you're collaborating, you're owning something, not owning, but, you know, being on top of some kind of project, then probably need to channel the healthy aspects of your king energy to be able to manage all the stakeholders and people and collaborators and so on and so forth, right? So you draw onto certain, you know, skills and qualities when you need them in your life, right?
Totally. Exactly.
So if everything is interconnected and everything is happening simultaneously, because, you know, it is like that, we are very complex. Human beings are super complicated. It's not always one or the other. It's all at the same time. Is the awareness the path towards us being able to draw on those positive aspects of each and every archetype? What really needs to happen in our life for us to be able to be mindful to say, for example, now I need to draw on my warrior energy. I need to activate this part of myself because this is happening in my life. Is the awareness the starting point? What really needs to happen for us to be able to embody more of those healthy aspects?
Totally. It's awareness. Awareness, and I think awareness is one of the pillars of education. And we really don't need to do anything. I think it's really useful in your journey of self-development to engage in educating yourself of these aspects, these roadmaps, these systems that have been created to understand our psyche, to better understand our human experience. Because collectively, what is happening on the planet is that we are having a collective human experience. And the more that we engage with each other, the more we socialize, the more we talk to each other and share with each other about what's happening in my life, you will recognize patterns that are happening in your life too. And maybe they have slightly different elements to them, but this is the beauty of this work, is that the more we engage with each other, the more we're recognizing that actually there's patterns here that are happening within the global human experience. And this is what Joseph Campbell really tapped into with the hero's journey and his concept that there's this running theme that exists within these myths that have been happening, that have been being told for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. So getting into the nitty-gritty of all of this, because I know that, you know, our audience always wants to kind of get, you know, even deeper in the conversation. So what really happens to people in this experience? So let me give you an example. So if I'm in the workshop right now and I'm aware I need to activate these aspects of myself, so I'm also witnessing my shadow. I understand, as you shared, for example, in your case, morning routine, morning discipline, you know, it can be something that kind of shows up in you activating your warrior energy. For me, you know, I can say that, you know, if I'm in my magician energy, but I'm holding the knowledge or I'm manipulating the situation because I want to be in complete and total control of all aspects of our life, and I'm using my magical abilities of creation to be in control rigidly. And so I'm awakening to this. You know, I understand, I become aware. What happens in the workshop for me to be able to transform? So what are the practices, tools, skills that people will experience in order for them to be able to shift from that awareness of understanding their shadow aspect into the space of where we need to embody that most powerful and profound aspect of ourselves?
Yeah, it's a really good question. There are many different ways that we can help ourselves channel and connect with these different archetypal energies. So, for example, warrior energy, a really good way of connecting with that is body movement. But body movement in an activating way that gets you into your sympathetic nervous system. So it can be a lot of like fast movements, and we do warrior workouts on our retreats. So it's very much a boom, using breath, using sound, using the movement of the body to really connect with what it would be like to be a warrior. And visualization is also a really important process. So not to necessarily visualize you going into battle to actually fight someone, but it's that pre-process of getting yourself geared up and ready to go into battle. So you're about to go into a job interview, you're about to go into a meeting, a really difficult meeting, and you need to really be strong and you need to be firm, or you need to deliver a hard piece of truth to someone. And you need to be strong, you need to be unwavering. And so you connect with the warrior energy. So there's a lot of physical body poses that you can do that can really help you channel that confidence. So that's one aspect of it. We also use ice baths as well. That's a really great way. Cold water therapy is a great way to connect with your warrior energy. However, with ice baths, what I think is really important is, so Wim Hof has introduced this breathing technique, which really gets you prepared for cold water therapy. But this breathing technique actually gets you into your sympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. And actually what can really be useful in these moments is a parasympathetic style of breathing. But cold water is a really good way of activating warrior energy. Lover energy is more soft. Workshops that engage with creativity, with music, sharing an aspect of yourself, sharing what you love about the world. You know, when you go and you watch the sunset, for example, to look at that sunset with awe and with real total amazement with the beauty of life. And that can be done on a day-to-day basis of, you know, how do I interact with my day-to-day in a way that allows me to love not only myself, not only those around me, but all things in my life. So when you get into bed at night, I love my pillows. I love my duvet. I love this comfort, soft side that makes me feel warm and cozy and nurtured and embraced, you know. And using words can be a really good way. So opening the throat chakra, expressing, connecting the heart space with the external world. And this is the barrier between the internal world and the external world, the internal world and the external world. And so using expression to allow the love that exists within your heart space to come outwards. And so that's a really good way to connect with your lover energy. Magician energy, so it's really guided and ruled by intuition and connection with almost these aspects of the divine. So engaging your life in introducing rituals into your life. There's also beautiful meditations that you can do which enable you to connect with your magician energy. So for example, there's a candle gazing meditation. It's a really good example of one that you can do, which allows you to connect, focus the power of your mind, the power of your being, the power of your soul to connect with and channel that magician's energy, which is able to cast its gaze into the future, past, and present, and tap into those healing frequencies that flow through us that can help us to heal not only ourselves, but also those around us. And then the king energy, the gateway emotion to the king is joy. And so joy is a wonderful way to connect with your king energy. And so things that make you laugh, things that bring you pleasure, Also, what is a great way to engage with the energy of joy is not just how you experience joy, but how can you gift joy to somebody else? And one of the best ways that you can give joy to someone is by blessing them, by complimenting them, by recognizing someone for the impact that they have on your life, positive impact that they have on your life, and telling them that and sharing that with them and showing your gratitude and showing your appreciation to them is a great way to connect with your king energy.
And being genuine, you know, sometimes, you know, people withhold, or, you know, giving the gratitude and the acknowledging other people because, you know, they don't feel, you know, genuine in sharing compliments, and people will shy sometimes out of it. Like, oh my God, you know, like sometimes in the podcast, I introduce people in such a dramatic way at the beginning of the podcast because I really want to activate their joy inside of themselves. And they're like, oh my God, this is too much. You know, like, I cannot accept this. But anyway, what I'm saying is just being genuine in that, so people can really feel it. So what is the outcome? So what happens? You know, we go through this journey together, you know, we explore all the aspects of healthy masculinity through this lens, through this model. How do people end back in their life? Is that something that is sustainable immediately? Is that something that sticks, or is it an ongoing balancing act that people need to keep on re-engaging and working on themselves to maintain basically that balance? How does it really work in reality?
Yeah, it would be amazing if I could sit here and say, yeah, you come on our retreats and we give you the silver bullet and then you're solved and you heal. And I think that would be amazing for healers, for coaches, and for therapists, but it just doesn't work like that. It is an ongoing dance, and it's a delicate dance as well, because the more layers of yourself that you peel, the more you realize, actually, well, I thought that I had life, you know, sussed out, but actually I've now peeled away this new layer, and I've now uncovered all these extra levels of work that I need to focus on, these extra elements of wounding from my childhood, and maybe my relationships with money, with work, with myself, etc. And so it is an ongoing process. But the beauty is that once you have this roadmap and you have these systems and you've raised your awareness to the fact that they exist, then when new challenges come and new or deep-seated emotions that have been repressed or suppressed rise up, and the reason why they're rising is because they're now showing you that they're ready to be focused on and ready to be healed, you now have this framework of understanding and these tools to process these emotions and work through them and help reparent yourself. So that's one of the other aspects of the work that we do in The Unmasked Man, is it's the education, it's understanding that we have an inner child, and that inner child needs reparenting, because on some level, that inner child was not parented, not only by our parents, but by society, by ourselves as well, most importantly. And so that we really try to educate the men that come on our retreats about reparenting your inner child, connecting with your inner child, giving a microphone to that little voice that has maybe been pushed aside for so long, and to understand what is that little boy, what is that little girl saying within you that it needs, that it missed out on when it was younger.
I love that free parenting, because, you know, I was always thinking about this from the point of view, like, what really gets us to forget about these aspects of ourselves, to get out of the balance when it comes to our masculine energy and the archetypal connection. And one of the reasons probably is that we are not parented by, as you said, our parents, society, environment, culture, to be able to be in relationship with them. So once when we get this awareness, we need to re-educate ourselves. How do we really work with our inner child to be able to express those healthy aspects, because we do want them. You know, we do want to be in balance. We do want to have active warrior energy in our life, because now this is needed more than ever, you know, for a lot of things in our life. We really want to have this lover activated, where we can be loving and caring and graceful and poetic and in movement. We want to activate our magician, because now more than ever, we need magic and transformation and healing and for ourselves and our world. And we do want to ultimately get into the king energy when we feel that this element of joy and collaboration and co-creation with the entire humanity, it's in the place that if we all see each other as equal in our own kingdoms, in our collaboration. So I think this body of work is absolutely beautiful and very relevant and really applicable, not only in their life. I'm thinking about businesses as well, you know, how much leaders within the organizations will benefit of creating that culture. And I know that a lot of leaders are listening to this podcast because, as you know, TNM Business, it's geared towards transformation of the business environment and leadership and coaching. So I'm just thinking, wow, how powerful is that, you know, for somebody to really become aware within those contexts as well, how to lead, how to be present as a collaborator, how to initiate the projects and so on and so forth. So it has application across life, business, and so on and so forth.
Totally. I think you've tapped into a really important point, is the corporate world or the business world, and how this work can totally transform your ability to inspire, to lead, to create, and to action the changes that you want in the world, but within your team and within your company. And to really introduce this work into your corporate structure, or the way in which you even lead your team meetings, for example, can really bring about a cascading transformative impact on how happy your employees are, and how happy you are, and how inspired they are to follow you. Mm-hmm. And productivity goes up, and all these kind of things. And these are a lot of the benefits that we hear from the men who come on our retreats, and then they come on our level two, is how much it's impacted their working life.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see that clearly. I mean, I can see that when you get initiated in this process, it creates ripple effect. And also, not to mention, if the team or collaborators begin recognizing each other's aspects as well, or using the language like, we need to activate our warrior energy because we are on the deadline right now, or we have important presentation, or we need to really create a powerful connection with our clients and activate our lover energy so they can feel warmth, understanding, compassion, being listened to, being received, embraced. Or we really need to magicalize something together, you know, in creating innovation that has never been created before. So how can we use our magic, a magician, to be able to tap into that higher level, elevated level of consciousness to be able to do this? And then, of course, how do we run business as a king, and how do we care for people, for planet, for environment, for everybody else around us, instead of, you know, just thinking about ourselves. So the applications of this work are absolutely beautiful. We can talk more and more about this throughout. So it's a very beautiful body of work. Now, so how would you like to see our world evolving from this point on? So if this, let me just retract this. I don't want to say if, when this work becomes available to everybody in our communities across the world, what is the outcome of all of that? What would you like? What is the vision that you would love to share with the audience? How would you like to see our world within this balance of this masculine energy, healthy masculine energy? And also, as we said, this affects women as well. There are men in their life and themselves also. What is the vision that you would love to support and see?
So one of the visions and the almost dreams that I've had of how I see society evolving is, I see that women within their own circles, they need to come together to develop that sense of sorority, that sisterhood. They need to connect with themselves, deepen their understanding of what it means to be connected with their divine feminine energies. What are the qualities of feminine energy? Help them heal a lot of the wounds that they have from the oppression and the terrible atrocities that have been done over the generations within their like feminine wound, let's say, the men need to do the same. The men need to come together as well in men's work and brotherhoods, and they need to come together to connect with each other to flush out these unhealthy aspects of masculinity which have been imprinted on us from society, to recognize that we are, it is okay and it is good to express a full range of emotions, to show your vulnerability, to cry, and to maybe show your rage and not be afraid that people are going to run away, or people are going to reject you, or people are not going to love you anymore because the men who are surrounding you are strong and they can hold you. And then once those two processes have happened on an individual and separate way, is I think that select women should be invited to come and sit with the men, silent, just to witness what is taking place within the men's work community. What is the true nature of the modern man and how they're interacting with each other, to help reshape and reform their perceptions of men? Because understandably so, a lot of women today have a really low expectation and low like value of men because of how they've been treated by so many men over time. And the same for the men. Select men should be invited to sit in women's groups and just witness, to see how women like to be spoken to see how they interact with each other, to see how they process. And then those individual men will go back to the men, and those individual women will go back to the women. They share what's actually happening, and they help reshape and reform the perception of what's happening in the opposite gender. And then the next stage up would be the culmination and the bringing together of these two circles, whereby we can sit in circle, men and women, and share with each other and talk to each other and be as vulnerable to each other as we are with ourselves. And so that is kind of the three-step process and vision that I see. I think it's vitally important, the men's work. It's so important right now. I think we're also on the precipice of men's work exploding into the scene, like yoga, like cold water therapy, like breath work. I think this, we really are about to see this real big ballooning in this work. And I think really the goal should be this bringing together of the two, to really help us as individuals harmonize our own feminine and masculine qualities and bring them together. Because if you imagine it like a double helix that spins in the center, you have your divine masculine that spins, and then you have your divine feminine that spins. And when that is in a harmony, when that is in a channel of strength, then your inner child feels safe enough to start coming up and start moving up through the spiral so that you can become a completed being. And that is, in my opinion, why we have come here, why we have incarnated into this planet, into this realm, is so that we can experience the human experience. We experience trauma. We experience the pain and the suffering that can come from, and changing our perspective that actually it's not, there's no pain and there's no suffering. It's actually just an opportunity for growth. And we come here to grow, to evolve, to elevate ourselves. And in that process, by which we raise our own vibration and we heal ourselves, we heal the world, because we're all connected and we're all just pieces in this cosmic puzzle that make this beautiful vista of human life.
And so be it, and so it is. From a beautiful wisdom and the vision that you're sharing with us today. Thank you so much, Josh, for coming and being in this podcast. I really want to acknowledge you for the beautiful sharing, fantastic vision, great tools, and great initiation for everybody who is listening in. And thank you so much, everybody, for joining in to TNM Unplugged and Zoran Todorovic Interconnected Podcast week after week. I hope this was a great elevation. I know this was a great elevation. I've learned so much. play with this work, embody this work. If you're curious about how you can participate in some of these workshops, we're going to reference everything in the description of the podcast so you can enroll and grow and become that harmonized, balanced version of yourself. Once again, Josh, thank you so much for coming today. Everybody else, thank you so much for tuning in. Lots of love. And until we meet next time, bye for now.
Bye. Thank you.